Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. I'm continuing our study on justice tonight. I'm talking tonight on the positive side of justice. The positive side of justice. Matthew, chapter 6, verse number 3. Page 1002. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That word reward is the key word. Look down to verse number 5, please. Where we are right now. Skip over from verse 4, all the way down to verse 5. And don't forget, wherever you are, that's where you're at. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Now down to verse 17, please. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, it's interesting that we think of justice, we always think of punishment. Always do. You think of a courtroom where somebody gets sentenced and so forth. But justice is just as much positive as it is negative. If somebody does something where they deserve honor or reward and they don't get it, that's not justice. So justice is not only the equaling of punishment to the transgression, but the equaling of reward to the good work. And I want to talk to you tonight about that. Our Heavenly Father. Now, Father, I never want to injure thy word or to hinder its entrance into the hearts and the minds of those whom thou hast given me to teach. I want to rightly divide the word of truth, and so tonight help me to so do, and I pray you'd help us to be careful and attentive to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel convicted myself of having discussed justice for all this amount of time and never gotten above even or above zero. For all these weeks, I have discussed with you the subject of justice. And how many times have I said this little line? Justice is the equaling of the equation, balancing the punishment with the transgression. All of us are prone to think of justice as being punishment for wrong. But God isn't that way. For example, when God speaks to us in Galatians, we won't turn to it, but in Galatians chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, and verses along there, he says, talks about if we do good, if we continue to do good, God rewards us. He'll punish us for evil, but reward us for being not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you think not. And God has two judgments for his race of people. He has the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennium, which is the last thing that will happen on this earth, or at least happen concerning man's destination. And after which, we will go to the New Jerusalem, and the unsaved will go to the lake of fire to spend eternity. But there's another judgment. There's also the judgment seat of Christ. So a judgment is a place where justice is meted out, and God has two judgments. I have taught, and we have thought, and we mankind this way, only about the negative. But not only is there a great white throne where justice is given to the unsaved, but there's a judgment seat where justice is given to the saved, and what rewards are given to them for what they have have done. For example, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It said to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Now, we think of justice, we think of payment for bad. But God doesn't think so. God thinks of payment for good and payment for bad. The judgment seat is a place where we will receive rewards for our good and lose rewards for our bad. So tonight, we're going to take the time and discuss with you the positive side of justice. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation, the last chapter and the 12th verse of the last chapter of the Revelation. For 22 chapters, by the way, that's on page the end. I looked down where the page was. There's no number. It just says the end down there. So that's on page the end. For the entire, you know, let me tell you what I think. That's what I'm up here for, really. But I had the sweetest thought last night. I was preaching last night at the pastor's request, my sermon from Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a sermon that's made more interesting because I sing a great deal during that sermon. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, I sing, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, of course, I wrote one time. Had some help with the words, but I wrote the music to it. And a man named Solomon helped me with the words some. But I was teaching last night, and I said, if we will spend our lives acknowledging him, then it says he will direct our path. And I got thinking, he'll plan. He goes ahead and plans. If we'll acknowledge him. And he plans our fun as well as our service. And that's why we have so much fun here at First Baptist Church. And our humor. Most of the things we laugh at are new and fresh. Well, let's go on. But I don't know where I got that, but anyway, I was thinking about that. Now, in Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, the book of Revelation deals with a panoramic view of the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are two great mountain peaks of that second coming. There is the rapture when he comes for his own. And there is the second coming, the revelation we call it, when he comes 7 years later with his own. He comes for his own and calls us up into the air. We're with him 7 years at the judgment seat and the marriage of the Lamb. And then he comes with his own to establish his kingdom. Now this entire book of Revelation deals almost all of it deals with prophecy. And then he sort of, at the end, he says, behold, I come quickly, and that's talking about the rapture. Jesus said, at a time, and men think not. He said, only the Father knows the day and the hour when the Son of Man is going to come. But he said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Now listen carefully. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is going to reward us before he's going to punish the unsaved? I mean, the judgment seat comes first. Because he's more excited about that than he is punishing unsaved people. So he didn't say, I come quickly and my punishment is with me. No, when he comes up at the rapture, his reward is with him. Now listen carefully and I'll explain it to you. There are two judgments, main judgments in the future. One is the judgment seat, and that is where our works are judged. Now our sins were judged on Calvary. Our works as Christians will be judged at the judgment seat. But the unsaved people will not be judged there. They'll be judged for their works and cast into the fires of hell at the great white throne judgment 1,007 years later after he comes and his reward is with him. Now then, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying that justice to the doers of good is more important to him than justice to the doers of evil. He's saying that the judgment seat where rewards are passed out, are more important to him than the great white throne where punishment is passed out. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could be like that? If we would think more, and I'm guilty. I've been teaching up here for probably 25 Wednesday nights on justice, and I have not even mentioned this yet, because we as human beings are so prone to think of justice in the realm of punishment for bad. Now turn, please, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. We mentioned it a while ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Page 1233. Read that verse out loud, please, with me, would you? Ready? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, the Apostle Paul here is talking about saved people. And he said all saved people must someday appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now I'll tell you about this after a while, but I want to give you a little preview so I can explain this. Whether it be good or bad. There will be rewards given and rewards taken away. Now, listen, I don't think you listened to me tonight. Listen to me now. As I've said it before, this judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. There's never going to be a time when all of the people of the world will stand before God and the good will go to heaven and the bad will go to hell. The truth is, that's the case. Everybody will go to hell because all of us are bad. The wages of sin is death, and so if you commit one sin, that means you're a sinner, and that means you have to go to hell. So there are two judgments. Well, actually three. Jesus on the cross judged our sins if we had put our faith in Christ. And God imputed our sins against the record of Christ and imputed his righteousness against our record, and we stand today blameless in the sight of Almighty God. I'll never stand before God for my sins. Jesus already stood before the Father for my sins for me. But I will stand before the Father to receive degrees of rewards for my works. So my sins were judged on Calvary. My works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, talking about the judgment seat, turn back, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. We're going to spend a little while there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 8. I want you to really wade into this with me because I'm going to be a little heavy with you tonight. I shouldn't have said that. But, all right, I'm being insulted from the back. All right, in verse number 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive, get this now, his own reward. Look at me. You're not going to receive a reward because you went to First Baptist Church. We baptized 8,000 this year. You'll receive your own reward. You're not going to receive a reward because you went to First Baptist Church and we had the biggest Sunday school in America. You're going to receive your own reward. There will be no collective rewards given at the judgment seat, only personal rewards. It's entirely possible for you to stand before God at the judgment seat and receive no rewards and have been in this church service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for 40 years. You will receive your own reward. Now, look at it again. Now, he that planteth, verse 8, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward. Now, the word reward there is interesting. The word means wages. It means earned. Now, to make it very plain, you get to heaven free of charge. The enjoyment of heaven you will earn. You will get to heaven without... please look at me now. Don't rewriting while I'm talking. Just look right at me now. Put your pens up, your pencils up. Now then, I want you to follow me. I believe with all my heart you can learn more by rapt attention than you can by writing one piece of paper. With all my heart, I believe that. I know that's true. I'm off the subject now. I always get off something like this. I never take a picture. I don't own a camera. I just got back from Manistique, Michigan, where I preached up in the Upper Peninsula. I'll guarantee you, I'll remember that preaching trip to Manistique, Michigan, more than anybody that was there yesterday took pictures all day. Because I paid attention. I've got pictures right up here. I remember what I saw. I saw Hardee's. I saw McDonald's. I saw Burger King. I saw Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't have to take pictures. I remember things like that. And if I could ever get you to give me your total attention, I'll guarantee you, you'll learn more Bible than you ever will having in your notebook. Now, he said again, the word reward means wages. We will receive wages at the judgment seat of Christ. Wages for what? Wages. Isn't that what wages are for? You work all week, you get wages. And that's what this is. We work all of our lives after we're saved, and God's going to give us wages. Now, again, may I say, you will not earn getting to heaven. You will earn the degree of enjoyment you have when you get to heaven. Getting to heaven is free. That was taken care of when your sins were judged at Calvary. The degree of enjoyment you have in heaven will be determined by the works that you do. So it says in verse number 8 again, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward or wages according to his own labor. And that's what you receive wages for. Now, what labor? I love verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now look at me. What labor will we get wages for? Now watch me carefully. You get to heaven free. You get wages for laboring. But what labor? What labor when we labor together with Him? You see? When we labor together with Him. You labor in your own flesh, you'll get no wages for that. You labor together with Him, you get wages for that. Now, to labor together with Him, you've got to labor in what He labors. Now, what labor does He do? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. See? Well, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, Paul said. All right? Then if I labor together with Him, I do His work. That's what 1 John 5, 14:12 means. Where it says, better than I say unto you, the works that I do shall ye do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. Now, what's He saying? He's saying, if you labor together with me. Now, if I labor with Him, I've got to labor at doing what He does. Is that true? I mean, if a fellow's out here down in Texas picking cotton, I can't labor with him by pulling corn in Iowa. See? I've got to be where He is, doing what He does, if I labor together with Him. Now, with that as a background, look back to verse 8 again. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man that shall receive his own reward according to his labor. All right, but what labor? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen. I love this. I love that word. That word husbandman there, husbandry, means tilled, God's tilled land. Says, ye are God's tilled land. God is working in you to bring forth a crop. Do you hear me? Now, I said a while ago that we get rewards for our labors. What labors? The labors when we labor together with Him. Now, in what way do we labor together with Him? We are the ground that brings forth the crop, and He is the one that uses us as till ground, and we bring forth the fruit. All right? So we are God's till ground. He is working on me and with me that I may bring forth fruit for Him. On down further. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God is working on me as His tilled ground, and God is working on me as His building. Now, I want to drive this thing over and over again in your mind tonight. We will, at the judgment seat, receive wages. Wages for what? Wages for labor. Wages for what labor? Wages for laboring together with God.
What does God, kind of labor does God do? Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. The Son has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So when you go soul winning, you are laboring together with God. That's the work He did. That's the purpose of all of it. And so you will receive rewards for your going soul winning. Look at verse 9 again. I'm sorry, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder. God, He says, the grace of God is our master builder. Now, what's a master builder? The word in the Greek is the word architect. It's exactly what it is. It's the word architect. So God is the architect. What does that mean? That means that God draws the plan for my life and my work. Is that right? I met today with the architect who's drawing the plans for our girl's dorm that's going to be built in 1998. But I met for 45 minutes with the architect and the builder. Now, the architect had the plans there. Now, the builder is supposed to build according to those plans. But the architect draws the plans. Now, you just don't out here decide what you're going to do in your life. He has drawn the plans for your life. He is the master builder. He is the architect. Now, the way you get your rewards is when you, hear me now, when you labor in His plan, doing His work with Him, for those things, you get rewards. You don't get a reward because you give a nickel to a blind man selling pencils on the downtown street. No reward for that. You say, Brother Hiles, what do you say? I'm saying that you get rewards when you are a co-laborer with God, or a fellow laborer with God. All right, look at verse number 10 again. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder or architect, I have laid the foundation. Okay, who drew the plans? God did. And what did Paul say? I laid the foundation. I was out there today with the architect. The architect drew the plans, and the builder is going to lay the foundation. So, I want you to follow me carefully now. It says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed or beware how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now look at me. Paul said, I have laid the foundation, right? And who is the foundation? The Pope? No. Baptism? No. Church? No. Jesus is the foundation. You see, Paul said, I have laid the foundation. What did he do? He preached Jesus. So, how do you get rewards? You work together with God. What is His work? His work is soul winning. And what is that soul? What is the message of that soul winning? The foundation. What is the foundation? That's Jesus. And it says in verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Say, you say to people, you have to live a good life to go to heaven. Sorry, you can't pour the foundation. It's already been laid. But you say, you've got to take the sacraments to go to heaven. I'm sorry, you can't lay the foundation. It's already laid. When a foundation is poured, you can't pour another one on top of it. It's already there. Jesus is the foundation. Now, it's my job to work on that foundation, salvation free, and to work with Him in the building of the building and co-labor with Him doing the work that He does in order to get my rewards. Now, verse number 12. Have any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble? Now, there's six things there. Gold, that won't burn. Silver, that won't burn. Precious stone, that won't burn. Then there's the three other things. Wood, that will burn. Hay, that will burn. Stubble, that will burn. All right, look at me. Every single work that you do will be tested by fire at the judgment seat. Let me go on. Verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, and that word manifest is an interesting word. It means open to sight under a light. Every work that you do as a Christian, every Sunday school class that you teach will be open to sight under a light. It'll be manifest. Every time you go calling on a bus route, it'll be made manifest. What is that? Under sight opened to sight under a light. For the day shall declare it, or make it plain, that's the judgment seat, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is, heart quality. What will determine then whether you get a reward or not for what you do? Now follow me carefully. It's Saturday morning. You're going out on your bus. Route. And you go on that bus route, and you do it so you can have the biggest route of all, so you can brag. That motive will be passed through someday the fire of the judgment seat of Christ and be burned like wood, hay, and stubble, and you'll get no reward for that Saturday. But you go out on a Saturday morning on your bus route, and you say there are people all over this great Chicago area that need Jesus, and they'll die and go to hell, and only that, live a miserable life on their journey to hell. I've got to help them. I've got to help them. I've got to obey my Lord what He said. I've got to do it. And someday that will pass through the fires, and that'll be gold and silver and precious stone. You will not get rewards for all the works you do. You'll get rewards for all the works you do for Him and with Him. Only fellow laborer work with Him will get you rewards, or me rewards. I preach a sermon, and I say, I am going to preach next Sunday morning the greatest sermon ever preached. And one day I'll stand before God, I'll get no reward for that. But I say next Sunday morning, I want to help my people. I want to give strength to the weak and lift up the fallen and encourage the discouraged and give a light and a pathway to those who've lost their way and bring back those who've been driven away. I want to help them for the glory of God. When that sermon passes through the fires of the judgment seat, I will receive reward for that. All right, look at me now. What will we get rewards for? We'll get rewards for labor. We get wages for labor. What labor? Labor done with Him. Labor not done with Him and for Him will not be. You'll get no wages for that. You'll get wages for the labor done with Him. Now then, look at verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward, or shall receive wages. If any man's work shall be burned, that's work that you do for your own glory. That's work that you do for your own praise. That's what he's talking about back in Matthew chapter 6. So when you give, don't blab around what you gave. If you do, you have your reward now. But don't let your right hand know what your left hand does when you give. And what? And said, then the Lord which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He says, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't get up and pray beautiful prayers and try to impress everybody. He said, if you do that, you've already got your reward. But if you will pray in secret, that's one reason why I'm not much of a fan of public praying. I'm a fan of on your face before God Almighty by yourself. You plead the power of God. Ask God to forgive your sins and ask God to bless you. That's the kind of praying I believe in. But Jesus said, the kind of praying that is done in secret, He will reward thee openly. And the kind of fasting that's done, so you can brag on it, will not receive reward, but the kind of fasting that's done in secret, and you wash your face and don't look like you're fasting, that shall be rewarded openly, and God will give you a reward. But now how about people that don't get the reward? Look at verse 15. If any man's work shall burn, he shall suffer loss. Now listen carefully. Watch this way. The word suffer loss there means forfeit something you already have. Look at me now. Forfeit something you already have. You can lose rewards that you've already earned. Doesn't mean you lose reward for the thing you did. You can build up a certain number of rewards, and then you can do things in the flesh and lose some of those rewards that you've got built up. I'm not going to change our system at our schools, but I think it'd be worth thinking about for a few years. We have at our grade school a system of demerits and merits. And I love that. But in God's system, the merits take away the demerits. You follow me? Hey, we don't do that at the grade school, do we? But in God's system, that's what happens. You can earn some merits in God's system and do some things that will cause you to lose some of your rewards. Or you can do some things for God's glory which will cause you to get back some of those rewards that you've lost. So, it means this. It means you can lose rewards. And the question comes is, how in the world can you lose rewards? I'm going to give you two ways because I love them. There are many ways, but I like these best. Turn to 2 John 8. I'm going to show you one way you can lose a reward. 2 John, verse 8. Page 1326. Read verse 8 out loud, please. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, that's just what it said, isn't it? You can have some rewards already tucked away in heaven for you and lose those rewards. And John said here, I want you to be careful so you receive a full reward when you face God. Now look at it. What could cause somebody to lose a reward? It tells you in verse 9, 10, 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If they're coming unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine is that? The doctrine of Jesus Christ. The doctrine that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God. The doctrine that Jesus Christ never committed one sin. The doctrine that Jesus Christ went to the cross and took upon himself your sins and mine. The doctrine that he vicariously suffered for us so we will not have to suffer. The doctrine so that Jesus is the only way to heaven by trusting what he did. The doctrine that he rose again after 72 hours. The doctrine that he's at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for me. And the doctrine that he's going to come and receive me unto himself at the rapture, and I'll always be with him. Now, that's the doctrine of Christ. Now, if they're coming unto you, it says right here, and by the way, he's talking about don't lose those things, but receive a full reward. Verse number 10. They're coming to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Look at me, and I'll give you an example. Here's a foster club member. She comes to foster club on Saturday morning. She's a wonderful lady. She's a soul winner. She loves God. She wants to keep people out of hell. So she comes to soul winning on Saturday morning. She goes out and spends, how many hours, Lee, would you say? 3 hours soul winning on Saturday. She wins 5 people to Jesus Christ. And she does it for God's glory, all right? Then she has what charged her record? She has a what? Talk to me, a what? Reward, all right? Now, she has that reward because she what? What do you get wages for? Work, okay? So she has those wages charged up to her because she what? Worked. She worked with whom? With God. We are co-laborers together with God. And for that kind of work, we get rewards. So she has these rewards chalked up to her. She goes home in the afternoon. She's so happy. She's won 5 folks to Christ. 5 people are going to escape the fires of hell and live in heaven forever. And she's so happy. And she's thanking God that she was a part of that. Somebody knocks on the door or rings the doorbell. She goes to the door. 2 very charming young men are there at the door. How do you do? We are taking a religious survey. And we have come by to ask you about your religion. And she says, well, who are you? And they say, well, we're non-denominational. They're liars. They're usually Seventh-day Adventists or Jehovah's Witness. But we'd like to explain to you something about the Bible. Now, they're wrong on the doctrine of Christ. They're wrong on the doctrine of salvation alone in Christ, and that is the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is that he is the way to heaven by his virgin birth, sinless life, vicarious death, bodily resurrection, high priesthood intercession, and coming again for us to take us to heaven. Now, so she says, well, you're nice fellas. Why don't you come on in? If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. What'd you do? She just lost some of the reward she got for going soul winning that morning.
Yeah.
For he that biddeth him Godspeed to partake of his evil deeds. So, she goes soul winning. She wins some. She has rewards charged up to her. The doorbell rings. She invites them in and bids them Godspeed, false teachers and false prophets. Now, look, don't get mad at me. You folks are visiting. Don't get mad at me. If Jesus is the way to heaven, there's no other way. And there's no other way. Any other way is wrong. And if he is the only way to heaven, then every other way is a way to hell. Now, pray tell me what kind of a preacher wouldn't tell you the way that the false ways. I mean, what kind of preacher would it be who knows that Jesus is the only way and doesn't warn you of the false ways? How do you lose your reward? Turn, please, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 40. Page 1010. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 40. Here's another way you can lose your reward, and I love this way best of all. Not that I want you to lose your reward, I want you to keep it. I want to show you how to keep it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. Now, Jesus, look at me. Jesus is talking here to the apostles. He is, in Matthew chapter 10, he has called the 12 up to a mountain and chosen them to be the apostles, his men, his preachers. So he said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. Okay, look at me. If I preach the gospel, then if you receive, Jesus said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. That means if you receive me, you're receiving him because I'm telling you about him. You better be careful how you treat a man of God. You see, I look further. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's what? Reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a what? Now look at verse 42. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, now look at me. I've heard that preached so much. If you give even a drink of water to a little child, you'll get a reward. It's not talking about a little child. It's talking about prophets, preachers. He's talking to the apostles. He's saying, actually, and whosoever shall give a drink to one of these small ones, these unknown men who go out to a world and tell them about the Savior, if you give them a drink of water, it says, you shall give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You better treat me better. Now, I don't like cold water. I like Diet Dr. Pepper. And that's in the Greek. If you give to one of these little ones, that means one of these insignificant ones as far as the world is concerned, one of these simple preachers of the gospel, a cup of Dr. Pepper in his name, he'll reward. It's right there. It's right there. Let me give you some conclusions now, just quickly. One, you can earn rewards. Two, you can lose them and counteract them. Three, you can counteract the loss. Four, there's no sin to counteract. Now follow me carefully right here. Well, then how does sin hurt a Christian? If all of our sins were judged on the cross, and we'll never have our sins judged, and if we're going to get rewards for our what we do for God, but not be punished for our sins in the judgment seat, how does sin hurt the Christian? I'll tell you. Sin hurts the Christian because it keeps him from doing what he should do to get rewards. It is not the sin that causes you not to get rewards. It is what the sin keeps you from doing. I've often said, being where you should not be is not the greatest sin. The greatest sin is, if you're where you should not be, you're not where you should be. You don't follow me, do you? That's the greatest sin. Our sins were judged on the cross. I'll never face my sins, nor will you. Well, Brother Howes, then, at the judgment seat, how about our sins? Our sins are things that keep us from working with Him. If you drink, you won't be a soul winner. You cannot be a co-laborer with Him. Same thing about your cursing. Thing about your carousing around. So the thing about your sin that hurts you at the judgment seat is that your sin keeps you from doing the things that would give you rewards. That's why I preach against sin. And let me give you four practical statements. Number one, we should do the same with our children. One of the great sins of rearing children is we give them justice as far as their wrongdoing is concerned, but not as far as their good is concerned. Let me illustrate. My mother was the expert at this. She didn't do too well on my sister, but she became an expert after she had brought it on my sister. But my mother was the expert at positive justice. She would say, "Jack, I know you'd never do that because you are such a good boy." It's been years since I told you this. I was about 3 years old, maybe four. I have an awful habit of picking my nose. Awful habit. I'm picking my nose, you know. Awful habit. Don't laugh at me. You still got the habit. At least I'm broken in mine. But now, wait a minute. I did. You know, Mother never scolded me for picking my nose. One day I was on my tricycle. I really was. And you don't think I can remember, but I can. Now, I can't recall what happened last week. We live on, Center Street. CNC Center Street. A block from Jefferson in Oak Cliff. And I was in the other room on my tricycle, and Mother had a neighbor in the room, and Mother had planned it. And she said, "My boy would never do that." She said it loud. "My boy would never do that. Oh, he's such a good boy. He'd never do that." And so I ran over and checked and see what she was saying. And she said, "Jack would never pick his nose." And that's the way she cured me for picking my nose. Now, since she's gone to heaven, I'm having an awful time. But that's the way she cured me. Now, let me say something. One thing wrong with our fundamental rearing of children is we do not reward them for good as much as we punish them for bad. But God's form of justice is both equalizing the reward with the good deed as well as balancing the equation of the punishment with the bad deed. You see? That's justice. Statement number two. We should do the same with our pupils in school. Now hear me carefully. You know it's the truth. In many cases, some kid will do wrong, and we'll get it in for him, and we stereotype him as a bad boy. And we give that kid justice every time he does wrong. But the honest, simple truth is, we are not very good at giving justice every time he does right. I love that merit system at the grade school. I love it. We could do worse than have it all throughout our schools. I love it. Because the grade school gives you rewards for good as well as punishment for bad. Observation number three. We should do the same thing with our families. And observation number four. We should do the same thing with our friends. I'm glad tonight that when I lose a reward, God gives me a chance to make it up. Now follow me. Doc, you and we talked about this in our meeting on Saturdays often. And we may have even differed on this a little bit. And I think in this case, we've done it your way. So you'll sure remember this. The only thing we've ever done your way in all these 19 years. But we discussed how a person who can raise his grade, right? A person on the test can have, say, a B average. And there's some things he can do to raise that grade. Is that right? What are those things? Extra outside reading. But to do that early in the fall. It gets cold outside in the wintertime. See, if you acknowledge him, he'll direct your humor, you see, and so forth. Extra outside reading. What else can you do? Some kind of a project. Well, what is it? We give a person a chance who has blown it on a test or two to pull that B up to an A. Or in your case, son, pull that F up to a D. But we give them a chance. Now, why don't we do that in life? That's what justice is. We get it in for somebody, and that's it. And we decide what they are. I know they say they're going to do better, but they've said that 1,000 times before. That's not justice. Justice is equaling the punishment for the transgression. It's also equaling the rewards for the good deeds. Review. How many judgments, basically? Two. Including Calvary, how many? What was judged on Calvary? What will be judged at the judgment seat? Our works. And we'll receive what? Rewards. The word reward for me also means what? Wages. What do you get wages for? Working. What kind of work will you get wages for? Work that is done what? With God. We're laborers together with God. And that's the kind of labor. So, just in closing, if you want to really get a lot of reward someday, the way you get them is be sure that everything you do, you and God burn it together. Well, you say, Brother Howes, isn't that sort of selfish? Look at me now. Isn't that sort of selfish? Brother Howes, don't you think it's sort of selfish for me to work so I can get rewards? I'm glad you brought that up. Turn to Revelation 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. The 24 elders, and by the way, you have to trust me on this, that's God's people there, and we're at the judgment seat. The fourth chapter of Revelation is the judgment seat chapter. All right, here we are. The 24 elders, that's us, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So wanting to get rewards isn't selfish after all. Because when you get those crowns for rewards, you're just going to have more things to hurl at Jesus' feet. And so you deserve the honor and the glory and the power. I don't know about you. When I get to the judgment seat, I want to get a few rewards. When I go to a wedding reception, I want to get enough rice to let them have it. When I stand at the judgment seat, I want to get enough crowns to let him have it.